B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We have had our first NFL game postponed because of the coronavirus. And with that story is our NFL insider, Diana Russini. So, Diana, but for those who've not seen anything, catch us up. Where do we stand as of right now with the league, the Steelers, and the Titans?
So, right now, the league has decided to postpone Sunday's game between the Steelers and the Titans in Nashville, which was supposed to be played at 1 o'clock on Sunday. They are now trying to decide what day they want to play this game. So, really, this was something that the conversations about moving the game started yesterday, and they really got serious this morning. They want to be really smart, obviously, and very safe about having these two teams together in a stadium at Nissan Stadium in Nashville that was allowing fans on Sunday to be there. So here's what's on the table now. One option is to play the game on Monday night, and if they don't decide that Monday is a good fit for them, then it will be Tuesday. Now, the things that are factoring into the decision is what the results of the testing will show over the next few days. The league really needs to see that the Tennessee Titans don't have an outbreak that is going to be out of control. They want to make sure this is controlled. And once they can figure out that, I think that is when the decision will be made when this game will be played.
Let's just reset our thoughts on the COVID thing with football. Because we're not there. But if this is the first domino of more situations like this, I think we're on the verge of a fail by the NFL, as far as I'm concerned. But, Maz, what's your leadoff thought about the COVID situation?
I mean, so to me, I just think you got to draw a line somewhere. I just don't want all those games piling up in January. And all of a sudden, the league's got 10 games to make up, and nobody knows what the hell's going to happen. So, to me, if you can't play, and there's no easy way to redo the game, you know, replay it either on a Monday or Tuesday or in a bye week that falls well for everybody, you lose. Your fault. I mean, that's the way it goes. And I think it sucks, but you got to move forward. You can't have all this, well, this team played 14 games, this team played 60. You can't have any of that. And they all knew going in. They all knew what it was, what COVID was and what the chances are of getting it and everything. And
so the Titans should forfeit.
I mean, if they don't have, unless the tests come back negative in the next few days and they can play on Tuesday night, I'm fine with that.
Well, so the latest report is Monday night, right?
Monday night,
with
yeah.
Kuharsky saying the CBS crew has been alerted to, you know, you're back on Monday night.
But so that makes total sense. That I'm fine with. And I even would say Tuesday. Like, if it spills into that, yeah, you had to go to Tuesday, it's fine.
Yep.
Like, I'm okay with that. But if they have, you know, they have positive tests keep coming in the next few days and they can't practice and they don't want to play without practicing, and you can't make the game up in a bye week or something, you lose. You're out.
What do you think, Murray?
I think it's a whole lot of panic over nothing. I mean, we saw this with baseball, and you could want to call that a failure, and we're watching postseason baseball right now. I just think it's too much to say it's a failure for baseball because, again, they're playing. You want to call it a D-minus. You want to grade it that way? Go right ahead. Because, yeah, they it was screwy how many seven-inning doubleheaders that the Cardinals ended up having to play and all that kind of stuff. But they figured it out, and just like the NFL is going to do. It's weird right now. People are going to freak out. There's going to be calls to shut everything down. It's just going to get worse. And the NFL will get past this, and they'll figure it out. They will, like just how baseball did.
But my only point is, in football, you can't do doubleheaders.
Baseball never figured it out. They just kept going.
Yeah, that's what I want the NFL to do.
I mean, the Cardinals.
Well, but that's different than figuring it out.
I think the Cardinals had to play 10 doubleheaders.
It's stupid. So, Murray, I just my definition of fail is different than yours. I mean, to me, the NBA has succeeded. The NHL hit it out of the park, okay? They both came up with formats. They never had to cancel a single game, you know, for COVID. There was the social unrest, you know, interruption there for both of them. But neither had to cancel a single game for COVID. There was no postponements because of COVID. The only thing that happened in the NHL is that they had too short of windows early on in that overtime game, bumped a Bruins game to the next day. That's the closest thing we got to an interruption in the NHL bubble. It was flawless. They came up with a format. They followed the format. It was an even playing field for every team based on the new format. The same thing has happened essentially in the NBA. Only a couple players left the reservation. Mo Williams did go to the strip club in Atlanta. Other than that, they kept it pretty tight, and it was fair for everybody. In baseball, Murray, it was a debacle. There were whole teams went a week without playing. They had to shut teams down. They had to shut series down. They had to reconnoiter series. You're playing this team. No. Now you have to play that team. You had teams that played 60 games. You had teams that played 55 games. You had teams that played, again, the St. Louis Cardinals played 27-inning games. 20. You said they had 10 doubleheaders? Okay, so that's 27-inning games.
Just quickly, they went from... They played on July 29th, the Cardinals did, and didn't play again until August 15th.
Okay, and so they played 58 games, not 60. So
More than a third of their schedule was doubleheaders.
Thank you. So 20 of their 58 were seven-inning games. Meanwhile, I'm just going to make this up, but it's something like this. The Cubs played 60 games, and 55 of them were nine-inning games. That's absurd. That's a fail. Different teams had different... It wasn't a level playing field.
Well, as it turns out, the bubble was the right way to go. MLB should have done a bubble. They're going to do it now as the postseason goes on, and they're realizing they screwed up. And the same thing's going to happen with the NFL. If you have a half-ass, you're doing it half-ass, you're going to get half-ass results. But you still keep going on.
Okay, but the Major League Baseball failed, man. Failed. There were way too many teams that had way too many cancellations. The seven-inning thing I like, but it's freaking goofy. When you had, and I'm just looking at the NL Central, the Cardinals played 58 games, 20 of them were seven-inning ball games. Meanwhile, Chicago, Cincinnati, Milwaukee all played 60. That's a joke!
Of course it is.
Okay, and so in the NFL, Murray, if we get into this thing, yeah, they can plow ahead and finish the year. I guarantee you they're going to do that. But if you have some teams play 16 and some play 14, or you have this situation where it's the 3-0 Steelers versus the 3-0 Titans, and they have to cancel the game and push the game back to week 7 or 8 or even Monday, or who the hell knows... Now you start to get into a thing where it's not a level playing field, and they've sort of peed in the pool, and I consider that a fail. That's what I consider a fail.
So look, all I'm telling you is you got to be prepared for the reality that it could happen that way. So in a COVID year, you're not going to get a normal season. You're not. And if someone says, well, that's unfair, my answer is, yep.
Okay, but at least when we have this situation now, so you come up with new rules, new protocols, and this is how we're going to approach it. You have to be able to execute that. And the NBA and the NHL nailed it.
But they were in bubbles.
And no one thought they could. And so this goes back then to the NFL. And I'm blaming the players or the coaches. Especially if they were acting irresponsibly, then they deserve blame for that. But then you go to the owners. And it's like, okay, I understand a complete, totally hermetically sealed bubble is unrealistic given the size of your traveling parties and the coaches and trainers and 60-man roster. Like, I get it. Okay, so that's a little hard to do a pure bubble quarantine. Could you come a little closer? You know, these players every day are sent home. Like, the season's only 3 months. Could you have gone to the hotel for 3 months, allowed some family visits, you know, monitored it, tested it, you know, have some sort of middle ground where it's not just... You know, everyone goes about their business and goes on their own way, you know, 7 days a week. Was there a way to tighten up more than they did? There has to have been.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Look, again, the league sort of operated in a alternative universe with regard to COVID from the very beginning. So I think they just said, like, no, we're going to plow ahead and, you know, just go ahead with it. So, look, the bubble would have been ideal. I'm just telling you that in the absence of the bubble, I think you're going to have glitches. And so the part that irritates me, because this goes back to what Bedard said during our show yesterday. And he said, I said, well, at some point, if you can't play, too bad, you forfeit. If you don't have enough guys or you can't get on the field or there's no other way to make it up, you forfeit. Bedard lost his mind. And he said, that's unfair. And I said, yes, it is. Too bad. It's not a normal year.
Now, the players and the team should have flipped for the bubble. Or something closer to it.
Yeah, if there's a massive outbreak, a 32-team outbreak, or we get close to that, the owners have only themselves to blame because they didn't want to pony up for a bubble. They didn't. Like, that was evident right from the get-go. Like, they weren't going to spend any kind of money, and no one should be surprised by that because the owners are cheap in the NFL. And always have been.
And you know what? As I think about it out loud, you could have put the whole NFL in the state of California or close to it.
Okay, so I'm not asking them to do that because that's what, Maz? I mean, that's... That's crazy.
Well, I understand, but if you want to play without the disease getting in, then okay. I think you've got to be in a bubble.
So that's unrealistic. I just think that's unrealistic. I mean,
it might be.
The NBA sent, was it 24 teams? How many other teams? 22 teams?
Yeah, 22, I think it was.
22 teams to Orlando for 2-3 months, and then they were all peeling out of there, you know, as you went along. And,
sure.
You know, that's, and 12-man rosters. Two or three assistant coaches.
Yeah, absolutely. Different.
Football is 65-man rosters now or whatever it is, and 12-man coaching staffs and 20-member, you know, training medical staffs and all in. No, that's not, that wasn't going to, I'm not expecting that to happen. But could you have, you know, what's the Patriot Place Hotel? Could you have just, you know, rented that out for two, 3 months? You put everyone there, you allow some family visits, you sort of test it, you monitor it, you keep a close eye on it, and you just, not a full 100% bubble, but get us closer to it and really tighten the situation up. If every team had done that, are you in a much better position than you are now? The answer is obviously yes.
Yeah, I look, overall, up until this thing happened, they were in a good spot though, right?
Yeah, they had too many opt-outs for my liking. I don't know, felt like they were teetering to begin with. So, I mean, we're only in week three. And week four, and we're postponing a game. So I don't know, how far did they really get? You know, and it just sort of bugs me that back in the planning process for the NBA and especially the NHL, people were ragging on those leagues, especially the NHL, about they don't know what they're doing, they're taking too much time, and they don't know what. It's like, and I thought it was, I didn't get it at the time. Why in June or July did they have to tell you exactly where and when they were playing? They were trying to figure it out. And it turns out they figured it out perfectly. Meanwhile, people are saying, look at the NFL. They got it all figured out. And all they're doing is having a draft in Goodell's basement. What did that take? And now they're hearing the real games and trying to execute their season, and they're already pushing games back. So it's like, no, they're closer to the fail. The NHL and the NBA nailed it.
Okay, but again, were your expectations that they were going to be able to play 256 regular season games without any flare-up?
Yeah. Well, yes. Uh-huh.
Well, that's unrealistic.
Well, if this is your approach... I mean,
you say my bubble theories, to put them all in a bubble is unrealistic, which I concede. To think they're going to play 256 games and nobody have a COVID outbreak is unrealistic.
I expect that. You know, if you're going to approach a season that way, then you better have it all figured out. And they don't. Fail. So that's what I'm saying.
Okay, I just don't think that they were ever going to have it all figured out. I think that inevitably something like this was going to happen. The question to me is, what do you do about it? So, again, you want to move the game or find a pipe? Fine. If they start piling up games in January, they're going to look like a bunch of jackasses. That's going to be stupid. I'd rather have forfeits.
Okay, listen, we'll take your calls on whatever you want the last hour. We spent some time on this. We've obviously just spent some time on Patriots-Chiefs with Paul Perillo. Maz gave you a very angry Red Sox minute last hour. You can weigh in on any of those issues as well. We revisited Kyrie and Durant in the hallway. Oh, it turns out it was two max contracts. It turns out that's exactly what he was saying, just like Felger and Maz told you 2 years ago. Well, the green team media was blowing us. How does that taste? Take exoneration. We hit on that. And anything you want. So for your phones, 617-779-0985 right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Felger and Mads. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The other possibility, and the first thing I did, I started looking at schedules. When is the Titans bye? When is the Steelers bye? Well, the Titans bye is week 7. The Steelers bye is week 8. So you can't just bump it to the mutual bye week. But the Steelers and the Ravens play week 7. The Steelers and the Ravens have a week 8 bye. It would be easy to reconfigure things so that the Steelers and Titans have their bye week 4. The Steelers and Titans play week 7. The Steelers and Ravens play week 8. So the Ravens move their bye up a week. The only problem is for the Steelers, and again, crap happens. You're going to have competitive disadvantages. You're going to have inconveniences. The Steelers may very well end up not having a bye week other than missing a game because you spend all week practicing for a game that doesn't happen. and then you spend your bye week practicing for a game that does happen when you otherwise would have been off. So, look, that happened a couple of years ago when it was, I think, Buccaneers-Dolphins. Remember, there was a hurricane game that had the plug pulled on it, and the teams played consistently 16 weeks after that. They never had a bye week either. That happens, and that may be what happens here.
That's all that that is. It's Mike Florio. It's okay. Not a disaster. I'm not going to call it a fail. They can just worm their way out of this one postponement, either play it Monday, Tuesday, or that week 7-8 thing. You know, just, you know, that's sort of a good break for them if they can do that.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, what if one team has a bye week in week 5 and the other is week 12? There's no way you can do that. So if that works out for them, it works out for them. But if there's anything more, if there's any sort of, you know, trickle-down effect of multiple teams having to change multiple bye weeks or multiple games being rescheduled, then we're starting to get into a thing, especially if their team is playing an unbalanced schedule or something like that, then you're in a, to me, a real mess and a real fail. And this is just sort of a, this is just the first step. I wanted to get your thought, too, real quick, Murray. How do you feel about the NFL coming down even harder on the sideline coaches not wearing the masks, not just fines, but lost draft picks for not wearing the mask on the sidelines?
That seems way harsh. I mean, the fines are crazy, but, I mean, they did tell them. And, look, the mask thing at this point, like, just wear it. Like, even if you think it's nonsense or however you feel, just wear the damn thing at this point. Like, come on. But loss of draft picks? I mean, that seems a bit ridiculous.
Okay, so what about Bill's thing about, I don't have his N1 mask, but the thing that he folds up so he can still...
Yeah, he kind of looks like a peacock or something, like
penguin.
A bird.
Yeah. You've seen what he does.
Yes, of course.
So, like, what...
I mean, they're all skirting it. Even when they're sometimes wearing it, the cameras are catching them. I think just the other night in that Monday night game, John Harbaugh, you know, pulled it down so he could yell at a ref for, like, 30 seconds. And that's probably why this memo was sent out, because that... They were on him for close to a minute, and he's lighting up the ref. Mask is down. It's like, dude, you can still yell with the damn thing on. They can hear you. There's no fans there, so it's not like, you know, there's a big crowd drowning you out. Like,
I just think there's a middle ground here. I totally get it with the league.
Yeah, I get the league's frustration, but the loss of a draft pick is too much. The fines, I get it, and they should probably be heavy-handed so the guys can take it seriously. And you saw that John Gruden now does after that Monday night game. He was wearing his mask this past Sunday, but... They shouldn't be coming down with draft picks and that kind of thing.
I mean, I think the whole thing is stupid. Now, look, the fines are the fines, and I think it's all about preserving some sort of image or, you know, some sort of idea that that's all it is.
And you know what?
Why don't the players have to wear masks?
Okay, but so, look, I'm not going to get it. The mask doesn't do anything. Fauci said we didn't have to wear the mask if the players would have to wear it. Why are they wearing it? I'm within 6 feet. Like... The doctor says, wear the mask, just wear the mask, which is, you know, so, because I feel there's a lot of that, right? I also feel if you do really want to yell at someone, it is hard through the mask, and the coach does have to coach, and the players aren't wearing them, so I understand what you're saying. So my solution is this. Stop showing them so much on the sidelines on the broadcast.
Yeah.
And because all they're worried about is the optic, which is they should be. Like, because I think it's important to wear them. I think it's right to wear them. And that should be the message you're sending. And that should be the optic. And so fine. Preserve the optics. There's a lot of people watching. And so represent the right thing. Fine. So I get it. But you also have to let them coach. And you have to use a little common sense. So you can cut back on the sideline shots a little bit.
Well, sure. Go ahead, Mario.
Well, part of that common sense is I don't think that any of these coaches are doing it out of malice. I think they're just forgetting.
Oh, I bet some are.
Well, the others, but
I don't hear this damn thing. Maybe, tell me what to
do. Okay, but I come back to the same thing. How come Brad Stevens didn't wear one on the sideline?
Some coaches did, some coaches didn't.
Okay, but the point,
No, but the league told them they didn't have to.
Okay, so, but the point is...
It's just like, follow the rules. I don't know. I'm a rule guy. You tell me to do something, I pretty much do it.
So, I agree with that part of it. I do. I just think that the whole thing is kind of stupid. They're testing these people daily. So, the whole idea is that they're going to...
Okay, so what, are we going to pick it? Or just wear the damn mask?
But I think the fine of a draft pick is excessive. It's absurd.
Yeah, it probably is. So, what I would tell the league is, stop showing... Get to your network partners, because they'll do whatever you say. And just tell them to cut back on the sideline shots. So he had his mask down for a little bit to yell at the ref. Like, let's not cost... I'm with you. Like, we're going to dock someone a draft pick because he lowered the mask to yell at the ref for a few minutes? Don't show it. Just don't show it. you have that within your control.
Right, because the league would be afraid of blowback, right? Like, oh, the NFL isn't taking COVID-19 seriously.
Right.
Well, you can control that message.
So, right. I understand the optics are important.
No, I understand what your point is.
So it's like, you know, Don't play gotcha with the coaches on the sidelines. The networks will bend over for you, okay? They will do whatever you say. So tell them to ixnay on the sideline shots. Unless the guy is clearly wearing the mask and then it looks good for everybody. You don't have to, no one has to lose any draft picks over something that's really an overreach, which I ultimately agree with. But then on the other side, I just don't want to give any quarter for these people who just won't wear the mask.
Sure, yeah,
when,
I gotcha.
When there's nothing that's really not, it does make your ear a little sore. That's it. Or you have to smell your own breath, which, oh, by the way, did you realize your breath smells that bad?
Oh, seriously, mine's brutal.
Oh, my God. No wonder the wood wants nothing to do
with me.
Holy
crap.
I had no idea it was that bad. But that's it. So just wear the effing thing. Like, you know, I don't want to give those people any sort of break.
Well, no, I gotcha.
The anti-maskers, I've never gotten.
No, I mean, I was arguing something totally separate, which I get. I just, you know, look, not showing him is a good solution. I don't know what you do in the final 2 minutes with the game on the line. Like,
well, then you wear your mask. Just, coach, wear your mask. Now it's a big part of the game. Just wear it. Okay, wear it.
Can you guys hear me? I'm calling the play.
You can hear him. Just wear the mask.
They should all do what Andy Reid is doing. And I think
that shield's so much easier.
Yeah,
I love that thing.
I think, what's his face in Denver has it too? The old man.
Fangio.
Yeah, Fangio gonna get fired.
You ever wear one of those?
The welder's shield?
Yes, I wore it out to get the pop out in Arizona. Back, no problem. It's easy.
Oh.
Like that. Like that's an easy thing.
I think Andy Reid should wear that every day to keep him from eating. In fact, he should put on a hockey helmet.
So it's two things. Wear the effing mask. Just wear the effing mask. And if you happen to not, if it happens to slip or you want to yell really at someone and you put it down for a second because you just have to, network, don't show it. And then it's all solved. Like, it's all, I just feel that they make it a little too complicated sometimes.
I mean, it is an easy thing to fix. Just tell CBS to stuff it.
Okay, I swear to God, right to your phones after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, calls as promised. Thanks for hanging on, everybody. Tyler in Manchester, what do you got?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. We're good.
I just wanted to take on the coronavirus impacting the NFL. I honestly don't think, well, I agree with you guys on one part. I think all players and staff members have to wear face masks. What do you guys think?
Players, no. No, which is what Maz is talking about. So if the players aren't wearing them, why do the coaches have to? Like, I get it. That sort of sounds right to me, but they're saying wear them.
No, so, it's a different argument. I get it.
So wear them.
We can argue about the rule, or we can argue about the people's willingness to adhere to the rule. And if NFL coaches are being, you know, difficult on it, then they deserve to get penalized. Some of those cash penalties were unbelievable at the beginning.
$250,000 or something?
Ridiculous. I mean, just outrageous. The draft pick thing to me is going way over the top.
I mean, crazy. Here's Danny in Rhode Island on the Kyrie Durant thing from the All-Star game in 2019. Turns out that's exactly what they were saying. Two max contracts. Go ahead, Danny.
All right, fellas. I'll keep it clean, but let me just say this. I was already pretty pissed off when I watched Tyler Hero end the Celtics season after the whole draft. Everyone was telling me the Celtics were taking the kid, and we just stood there, damn pat, and didn't do a thing. But to find out now that before the trade deadline, Danny Ainge, they rested Kyrie, and then he goes and says he has to play in the All-Star game, and to find out that the only reason he wanted to go to the All-Star game wasn't to play, but was to formulate his master plan to team up with Kevin Durant. I mean, I've never been irate at Danny Ainge through everything, but to just to be in a player's league and watch this, as we call him, this a-hole, walk all over everything the team has stood for and to have not have just, you know, at that point, like just taken the action and realized he's not coming back. He is not coming back. He's actually only going to harm the locker room. And as we've seen, I still think we're seeing the effect that Kyrie had on this team, as apparently he's Jason Tatum's best friend. I mean, I cannot believe that Trader Danny, Danny Ainge, I mean, obviously the relationship.
Well, hey, let me stop you.
It's a great second guess.
It's a good second guess. They should have, you know, you were all in denial at the time. You were all in denial. This is part of my rant. It's like when we spent time on that video 2 years ago, it's like, you're making it up. It's like, no. Kyrie Irving at the Super Bowl said, I don't know anyone effing anything, and I don't know anyone bleep. He basically totally reversed himself from what he said preseason at the Super Bowl before the All-Star game. It's like, oh, he's just, he had a bad day. You guys are making it up. And then at the All-Star game, he's in Durant's face in the hallway, two max contracts. It's obvious on film. You bring it up and you guys are like, oh, you're now your lip readers. Nah. Turns out that's exactly what was going on. And you could see it from this seat. You could see it from here if you wanted to. And I think you, but more importantly, the Celts were kind of in denial on Kyrie. And they could have gotten out ahead of that if they wanted to.
Oh, for sure. Like, again, second-guessing the idea of moving him at the deadline, they could have done. Like, I don't know, maybe they were still under some sort of delusion that they had a chance of keeping him. I honestly have no idea. Like, but look, he was so gone, it isn't funny. He's a dink. He really is. When you hear that audio, and again, I listened to it the first time this morning, when I know we started talking about it yesterday, of Steve Bolpet asking him about the video after the All-Star game, and the way Kyrie basically spit in his face. What a dick. Seriously.
And now that he's in the ear of Jason Tatum, that Danny Ainge and the Celtics brass, no, let alone the fans, you have to be so shook at that thought. What is he saying to him? I wouldn't blame him for considering tapping his phone just to hear what he is saying. What's he doing? Encouraging Tatum to go push for another head coach? Is he encouraging Tatum to pursue free agency?
Oh,
is he encouraging Tatum to consider reuniting? Like, all of that is on the table with that lunatic.
He's scary. I mean, it's scary that if he's in Tatum's ear and giving him some kind of advice, because I'll tell you exactly what I think he's telling Tatum. Don't let them tell you what you can do or what you can't do. It's all your decision. You have the talent.
Ugh, scary.
And on some level, he's right. I mean, the player does have the talent, and the player has the power in that league, and LeBron has raised a whole generation of followers that have watched him leverage teams like nobody in the history of the game.
So we don't know what Kyrie's telling Tatum. This I do know. It's not good. Whatever it is, it's not good. Not good for you. Bob in Florida has been waiting patiently with the Celtics thought. Hi, Bob. Thanks for hanging on. Bobby! So it tends to happen. Our older audience sometimes falls asleep. They're on hold for so long. His comment line said bench salaries. So, you know, do they got an expensive bench?
Not that I'm aware of.
Gordon,
I think Hayward? I think it's the opposite.
No.
I mean, I think it's the opposite. So, like, I don't know if you heard Stevens on today with Zolak and Bertrand.
Portions of it.
Yeah, I mean, he was asked about different things about the team, and this just popped into my head because he said it. I, you know, he defended people like Tyson. You know, look, those guys did the best they could. They're short on talent, though, in the middle. In the middle. They got to get a guy in the middle.
Francine is in Vermont. She's been waiting patiently. We had a thing on Gary Bettman before. Played a clip of him handing out the cup the other day in that empty building, and what a difference that is from how he normally gets his ass boot off the ice like no other commissioner. It's really sort of bizarre. So we had that conversation. Yes, Francine, what do you want to weigh in on with that? Thanks for hanging on.
Well, my theory on Bettman is that didn't he come from the NBA?
Yeah.
I believe he was a second banana.
Yeah.
In the NBA.
Yeah.
And when he went to... No?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. So when he went to the NHL, the old school said, no, we don't need the NBA people.
That's why he gets booed.
Tell us how to run our league.
I don't think that's what it is. I'm just going to cut you. Where do you care where the guy comes from?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with it. I just think that he looks like a smarmy little man. Seriously, he's got the whole New York thing, and it just doesn't. I think he just comes off as they don't like him.
And angry, with the comment of angry, inebriated hockey fans.
Yes, exactly.
It leads to this just vicious thing.
Who do they like?
Every time he hits the ice, it's vicious. So I was missing that this year. Steve in Cambridge, what do you got for us?
Hey, how's it going? I'm here to talk about Mike Trout. He's arguably one of the best players of all time, and he hasn't won one playoff game. So I just wanted your opinion on that.
So out of left field, a Mike Trout question. Yes.
No idea where that's coming from. I thought he was going to relate it to the Red Sox, as we said earlier in the year. If they got Mike Trout right now, Would it make you have more interest in the team?
My answer is no.
Me neither.
No.
Nope. No, I mean, really, no, emphatically, no. Like, that's the point it's reached on multiple levels with the team and the game.
Mike Trout could hold a sign that says, I'm Mike Trout, in his uniform, outside the Prue, and people would just keep walking by and think he's like some nut. No one cares.
No one could pick him out of a lineup.
Yeah. Seriously.
And he wouldn't draw you to the TV. He's a great ball player, but he's just another guy that swings for the fences and every once in a while is a dipsy-doo catch in center field.
Yeah, he's an outstanding player, but there's just not much there beyond the ability on the field.
Here's a slightly Celtics-related email of the day. Jimmy, I'll just read the thing. You don't have to play the song today. It's protected. The email. Fine, go ahead.
Cast email of the day.
Yeah.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
A lot.
And I think Maz is a boob.
Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
The email of the day is protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast.com. That's Mime, M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. This emailer says, Lakers greater than Celtics. In lieu of the start of the NBA Finals tonight, here is a list of teams with more championships than the Celtics in the last 34 years.
Hmm.
So 34 years ago is 86. The last of the bird is, I assume that's what he means, okay? So here are the teams with more championships than the Celtics in the last 34 years, which is older than a lot of you listening have been on the planet. Your lifetime. Lakers, 7. Bulls, 6. Spurs, 5. Heat, 3. Warriors, 3. Pistons, 3. Rockets, 2. Tied with Mavericks, Cavaliers, Raptors.
Ooh.
The emailer says, when are we going to stop treating the Celtics as the gold standard in the NBA and start viewing them as the same as the Mavericks, Cavaliers, and Raptors? Because the reality is, it is insulting to compare the Celtics' success to the Lakers in the past 4 decades.
Ooh.
I'll hang up and listen. Signed, Matt.
He's right.
That's cold.
1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. And
he's right.
This ties to the Kyrie thing because I think you sort of have it in your mind that, well, why would he leave the Celtics? You've arrived if you're a Celtic. You know, Celtic pride and Banner 18 and like this whole this whole spiel
right.
That you folks have. It's I want to tell you it's over. You know, it's like the Montreal Canadiens selling modern hockey players on you don't want to be a Canadien?
Les habitants?
No, I don't. Not really. You suck.
And that's why I wonder if Celtics fans might have to swallow their pride and root for the Lakers in this finals, because if they win this, maybe it does light a fire under Ange's ass to shake things up and change things with this team, or maybe be more aggressive at the trade deadline this season.
Yeah, you know who you are, folks? You're Notre Dame. Aren't they insufferable a-holes?
Like
they think they freaking invented the sport. What have they done?
Old money.
What have they done in our lifetime?
Like, the Canadians are a good one, too. That's perfect.
I mean, like, that is so, and they still carry themselves. Like, it goes through them, and they're this gold standard sort of operation, and that's history, pal, as someone once said.
Old money.
So it's like, maybe a little realization that you actually have to, you know, bend over for your players or realize they do want to go somewhere else. Like, I think the whole thing with Kyrie was, well, why would he leave us? We're the Celtics. Which I would say, who are the Celtics?
You're living in the past.
He left them for the Nets. Like, seriously, think about that for a second. The net, that's akin to leaving the Patriots for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Ah,
for crying out loud. It's the same kind of thing.
Get over yourself. I'd say the same thing to Wick if he were sitting here. No, that's actually not true. I wouldn't say any such thing. But I think collectively, the Celtics, get over themselves a little bit. You know, those banners mean more to you than they do to any young guy playing basketball, any young fan across the league. It just doesn't mean what you think it does. They'd rather go play in L.A. And so, by the way, so L.A., the Lakers have 16 championships. You have 17. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
So, if Celtics fans, I'm asking you, do you care about that? Do you care about that historical scoreboard?
I don't.
I mean, I don't put a lot of stock in it either. I mean, I'd put more of an emphasis on the last 40 years.
So, if I'm blowing you and trolling you, I put emphasis in the 40 years. If I were a Celtic fan, I'd care about that scoreboard. I would. I've won the most championships in history. I don't know. That's something.
That's because you're a Packers fan.
That's small. I don't do that. You folks count your NBA championships from the 50s in the 18 league?
The ones from Minneapolis. Screw them.
So, well, okay, then I'm going to count the Packers ones with Curly Lambeau in the 30s when we beat the Dakota Bulldogs. I mean, those were NFL championships. If you want to play that game, I don't play that game. But I do. I think it's cool if you're a Patriots fan. No one's won more Super Bowls than us. If you're a Celtic, no one's won more titles. Like that, yeah, but that thing would sort of matter to
me. But the Patriots thing has all happened in the last 20 years.
So?
Scoreboard. Yeah, but again, how many of these people are even alive when you have spent the last 11 years dumping all over Dolph Schayes and his knee pads?
Sure have.
And making light of those championships. Now you're going to acknowledge that they mean something?
I'm just going to say, if I were a green teamer, I would care about that number. I would care.
Yeah, I grew up here, and I mean, it's part of the...
I would care having the most.
Yeah, I get that, but I would also tell you you've won one in 40 years.
I mean, I'll tell you
right
now.
When you put it in those terms.
I know, scary, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh, I never thought of it in those terms. That is really.
34, 35.
For me, the 80s ones and, oh, wait, are all the other ones I really
care about. Yeah, I remember a little bit of the Havlicek ones, very, very little, but that's it. Even then, those don't count. I wasn't old enough to really understand it.
Okay, final start tonight. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 to talk about that and anything else in the world of sports. Coming up next, though, is the final word.
Sports, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
That would be nobody. So I don't know if you guys happened to hear Zolak and Bertrand earlier today.
Oh, but, I did hear this.
Yeah. Well, for those that didn't, and you listen to this show with any regularity, you've heard Estelle in Maine calling. And she's got something on her bucket list she wants to take care of.
Uh-huh.
The last time she called in on this show directed her to the other show. Here's what happened.
Because Estelle in Maine joins us now.
Nice.
Oh, Estelle.
Yes, I'm here.
Good afternoon. It's great to hear from you.
Hi.
You had a great call the other day. I enjoyed it very much.
Oh, good. I'm 89 years old. I'd like to talk to Bertham and Joland. My last wish on the bucket list, of course, is to meet Tom Brady. And I was told by Felger and Maz to call you guys.
So, Zoe, you have a personal direct connection to Tom Brady. How are we going to get this done?
I don't know. I thought it's up to you guys.
Yeah.
I'll go any place.
No, we don't need you to leave anywhere. Okay? Now, you want to talk to Zoland, right?
Yeah, because I was told that they could be the ones that would get me to get to see Tom Brady.
So, Zoe, what can you do?
Yeah, well, I mean, how can we facilitate this?
How can we make this happen, Zoe?
What if...
And it continued.
She checked in.
Zoe got Estelle's address. And he's going to see what he can do.
He asked her to stay on the line, and they would get contact info. And she says, okay, I'm at 7.
And they also said, do you have a computer or a phone? And she said, phone. And they said, smartphone? She's like, no, phone.
A regular telephone.
Rotary phone.
Landline. That's why we love her. She calls on a landline. But
I hope we helped out at Estelle.
You can Whatever call us anytime, though.
Yeah, I want to travel to Zoland. Also,
don't we all? Yeah.
It's very loud and greasy there.
Seriously, not a trouble in the world.
Really smelly place.
Paul Perillo, sunshine.com, patriots.com, joins the show each and every Wednesday during the Patriots season, which means we hear Sunshine Day.
Here we go.
Let's do it, Maz. Murray, here we go.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Hey, Pablo.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day.
Cheeseburger.
I gotta get out. Get me some of those rays.
Large fries.
Everybody's smiling.
Onion
rings. Sunshine day. Everybody's laughing.
Cheeseburger.
Sunshine
cheeseburger.
Day.
No coke.
Everybody seems
just pets
so happy today. It's a sunshine day.
How about a Sunday?
Why does he do that to you, Paul? Why does he do that to you every time? Paul Perillo.
He's a fundamentally bad person.
Very good.
I got to try to find new material for that.
No. That works perfectly.
Every time. Next week we'll go with pizza, maybe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.